Save big at Banana Republic Factory with 60% off the entire store. Our biggest sale of the year. Plus, take an extra 50% off clearance. Stock up on dresses, shirts, and shorts under $15. Find your nearest store or shop online only at Banana Republic Factory.
Want to rise above what holds you back? These are the stories of those fighting that battle. It might also be the story of you. I'm Dan Waldschmidt, author of Edgy Conversations and strategist to billion-dollar companies all over the world. This is Mark Menard, author of The Story of You, the guy who knows a thing or two about never giving up. You're listening to Elevating Beyond. Let's get started.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Elevating Beyond with a two-word mission statement: change lives. And I'm here today on set, live in my studio. This is great. I always love it when I have people here live. I'm sitting here with the CEO and founder, Nate Nails, of Easy Peasy Ticketing. And we're also streaming live on Facebook. So anyone on Facebook watching this will be answering your questions live. You'll hear him live on the show on iTunes, of course, on all the podcast formats. But what Nate's going to talk about is how, what I call changing the game, is how he went from being in a little blue-collar town to starting to have this crazy dream, even though he had a good job, and we'll get into all that, and really went after it, what he went through, and everything, and I've worked with his company, everything that his company's doing in such an amazing way that's changing the game on how venues are buying, are doing ticket sales and the different opportunities that he's creating. But look, as we know on Elevating Beyond, it's always about real talk. So first and foremost, Nate, how are you doing, my man?
Doing great, Mark. Thanks for having me, man.
Thank you. I'm honored.
Hello, everybody out there.
So yeah. So look, Nate, let's just start talking about, I want to let everyone know I connected with Nate as I was getting ready. Elevating Beyond's been doing some awesome live events, which we were just talking about before this. We had our recent one, Minutes with Millionaires. The huge thing there was the Q&A that we did with getting experienced business owners that have built them from the ground up over the years successfully, and allowing people to just fire questions at us and get those real answers and cut all the fluff out and give you the how. And we were really happy with the turnout of that. Again, get ready, the video is gonna be coming soon. But how we connected was, it was going to originally be in Boston in a whole different style of event. It's funny, I always say God is orchestrating. And although it didn't go the way we wanted, it ultimately ended up going in a great, the way it turned out ended up being really awesome for what it's leading towards. But the way it worked for your ticket sales was a different setup, but it gave me a chance to get to know you, and I was able to see how you set up your ticket sales in a different way. And I worked with some of the other, I don't know if we should throw their names out there, but there's only like a couple really big, starts with an E something, but the few other big ticket places out there. And I didn't have a bad experience with them for some of the events I did, but it wasn't near as great as what you created, and I could see the whole system and how you do it differently and strategically, and I loved it. Like, I love everything about it, but I know it hasn't been just a whole, like, easy-peasy road to get there.
The road has definitely not been easy-peasy the whole way, that's for sure.
So let's let everyone know, before you were CEO and founder of your company, you were in a smaller town, you said, and kind of had that blue collar mentality. And
yeah, I was born in a little one red light town, and it's called Knox, PA, and a real small town. And I think the red lights. I think the red light's even gone now. I don't even know if they have one now.
It's a four-way stop.
It's a four-way blinker, I think. But my dad was a mold maker, and so he was at the place at Anchor, which was the mold shop he worked at for about 14 years, I think. And then they were going to shut down that plant in PA, and so he had a couple options: either lose his pension, which was that's that was retirement with that train of thought. That was the future, right? Or start over or move to Zanesville. So we moved to Zanesville.
Okay.
When I was in first grade, about an hour east of Columbus. Grew up there, went through high school there. You know, my my father was a mold maker, blue collar worker, worked really, really hard for what he did and how he could provide for the family. You know, and I was able to get that work ethic from him, the moral backbone, you know, all of the good things from him. But the one thing that I never really connected with was, you know, the level or the cap that you could put on like what you want to do in your life. It seemed like coming from the really small town that they came from,
that it was like, well, everyone that can see me on Facebook Live on the podcast, you can't see what I'm doing, but just so you know, because I'm always about giving full attention and being in the moment. If I'm looking down on my phone, I'm looking at if anyone's popping in questions and stuff like that.
Nice.
Obviously, I'm here with you. But I get what you're saying, and it's not, and it can even happen in big cities too. It's about who's in your environment, and it's not, you're not saying that you sounds like you had a good dad and good parents.
Oh, great parents, yeah.
But you didn't really even know that it was like you could believe and go after these.
Well, I always,
or you didn't really see it modeled, I guess, much.
I always felt a disconnect. And I'm adopted as well. And so I think that inherently had something to do with a little bit of a different of a DNA build maybe, but yeah, there was times that, you know, anytime that they got new machines, my father was the one that would teach everybody and train everybody. He was offered multiple management positions, and he never took them, and I never understood why. And his answer was always, well, management's the first to get cut if there's cutoffs or layoffs. And so it was operating a lot in life based on fear, which I think a lot of people do. And I fell victim to that also.
Yes. That's a good thing to talk about.
Yeah.
To stop there for a second on the F word, which is fear, because a lot of us, actually the next Truth Bomb series I'm getting ready to be is never make decisions based on fear. But the truth is, we always feel fear.
Mm-hmm.
It never goes away. But what you have to learn is the difference of when you said operating, allowing it to dictate your actions. And so what you have to start choosing to do, and it's one step at a time, is although I feel afraid, I'm still going to take the actions while I'm feeling it, and not allow like everything, because what's around us and our circumstances and stuff can feel like this must be like dictating our destiny, because you can have these bigger dreams, these bigger visions, but the part of the fear of you is like, but you can be safer if you stay in here. Like I can have a family here. We can live okay, you know, but you're not going to have that same fulfillment. It's like, or I can step out into this unknown territory, into the uncharted waters where I might get eaten by sharks, you know, who knows what's out there. But
and I think fear in general is a falsehood that's painted from society. I think that society kind of trains us that we're supposed to do this and do this and live within these confines and not step outside the box and not take risk. And you know, if you look at the way that, you know, look at the way that, you don't want to get too much into the educational system, but you know, we're training.
Oh, feel free to.
We're training.
I have five kids, so.
I have none yet, you know, but we're training our children and our youth to recite, you know, and to remember things instead of thinking outside the box. You know, you've got to do this and do this and do this to get a grade that really doesn't correlate to success once you graduate, in my opinion, whatsoever.
Did you struggle?
I continually struggled more and more
because I did towards
my later years of high school. And I started getting in trouble. I was just bored.
Me too. Well, it's interesting because I've been doing a study on myself as well as all the guests and other business or like people that have had significant success in life. Yeah, what you don't know, this is actually, this isn't even a real show. It's just a case study that I'm doing. No, I'm just joking. It's like a Freudian experiment. We're going to start shocking you. But what is crazy is I would say 99.9% of the successful entrepreneurs I know were considered to have had ADD or ADHD, mm-hmm. me being one of them. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking in school, like, what? Like, I couldn't, everything would be like foggy to me. And some kids would just, they could recite, they could memorize all those dates. And the reason was, is like, I'm more of like a 360, don't just give me a piece of the puzzle. I get, yeah, there's building blocks, but like, I look at it in a different perspective instead of like, why are we just learning these dates? What is it? Share the story behind the story, which actually is what, I have a friend that's an elementary teacher, and he'll dress up like every when they're teaching a lesson on. He'll have like an Albert Einstein, but he won't just share the things and memorization. He'll share when he struggled as a child, what he went through, how he struggled in school, and that helps the kids to relate to it more. Unfortunately, a lot of places don't teach on that; they just teach towards the testing. And going back to what you're saying is. It's unfortunate, you know, we're not sitting here with victim mindsets or whatever, but it is only teaching towards one type of learning style and one type of almost like personality. And the problem is there's all these other ones, and you and I being one of all these other people. And I didn't get my MBA, but I've gone in and I've spoke to MBA colleges on how to be successful. But like I tried to take economics and stuff in college, and it was so like I didn't get any of it because they weren't teaching like the real and the raw,
right?
And like the application and in school, it doesn't really teach you also how to really deal with your mindset and like build your persistence and perseverance muscle. Mm-hmm. Like there should literally just be a class on called perseverance.
If you think about we punish based on grades, right? We punish our youth for trying to do new things or for trying different things, even though they might not be good at it. Whereas I believe like when you're young, you should try to do as many things as possible and find out what you're passionate about.
Absolutely.
And if you're not good at it, that shouldn't be a black mark on your report card. That should be a good job. You know that this isn't what you want to do. Let's try something else, you know?
Exactly right. It's like, okay, cool. It's as much as finding out what you don't want to do as much as what you do want to do. And also what I tell people is, it's a lifelong journey. We're figuring out, but everyone's like, what's your 5-year plan and stuff? And when I went to, and I don't even think college is for everyone. For me, I went to college because of after being in jail and everything, it was like, at that chapter of my life, it was to prove that I could do something and complete it. Mm-hmm. So it was more of like something that I needed for that level. But people get stuck on like this linear, I remember them doing tests for me back in the day, and they're like, here's the rest of your history, like you're not gonna be good at this, you can't do that, and it's like, don't go out and try this or fail at that or whatever. And it's like, you need to be doing all that. And I didn't even know what I was gonna do when I graduated from college, but for me to have a diploma and a degree just meant a lot after being in jail. So I did that, and then I got a job. And at first I was just doing labor work, like what you were talking about after college. Actually, I used to do tile in these houses that I live in now with a studio. I would do all the grunt work with my college degree. And I always believed in working your butt off, no matter what you did. And I remember working in these very homes. I might have even done the tile in this home. And I remember thinking like, what do these people have to do to be there? And I'm not about saying it's about materialism or whatever. It's about your why and what it means to you. And I still didn't know, but I kept just doing, which my, and this isn't about me. A lot of people heard my story, But I just love when I talk with people because there's so many similarities. One of them has been always like the ADD and the ADHD in school.
Well, we want to do things our way. Exactly. We want to recreate. We want to make things better, not follow instructions. And so I actually didn't. I went to a 12 after high school. I was good in art. I was always good in art and creative. And didn't really know what I wanted, what I was going to do after college. I planned on going to college on a full ride for baseball, but ended up getting in some trouble. Wasn't able to play my senior year. So what do I do now? Well, I don't know if you remember back in the day, they used to have TV commercials with like the little black and white like parrots and stuff that, you know, that you would mail in a test.
Yeah.
And then you would mail back your artwork and they would rate you on. So they came, I did that and it came back that you're very artistic. You should pursue a career in art. I'm like, okay.
Really?
Yeah. And so I went to a 12 month tech school for an entry level graphic design position, worked three jobs while I was during that 12 month period, ended up accepting a job as a
Did you move out of your town for that?
Yeah, I had to,
spreading your wings.
I had to, yeah, I
just
had
to let everyone know. So you left the little town.
Came to Columbus.
Yeah. Came to Columbus, which is where we are. We're in the suburb where we are now. Mm-hmm. Okay, so just letting everyone know you, and that's a leap of faith right there.
That it was, and it was a radical change on the people with whom I spent time with. And there was my good friend Doug I met on the first day of orientation for college, and I saw this big bright-eyed blonde-haired kid in the front row, right center, full of energy, and I'm like, this guy looks like fun, you know. I want to sit down and talk to him. Ends up we became best friends, and he was valedictorian. I was right underneath of him, he and his group of friends were really started changing the way that I looked at life, what was important to me. So that was the first shift of I was, 18, 19 then. So it was the first shift of going, from Zanesville to Columbus and starting to mature a little bit,
And mature, it was more like, you would say, in your mindset and almost expanding, like, what different possibilities may or may not be out there. But still, I want everyone to understand this. At that time, you didn't have a vision. You had that, I'm gonna be the owner and founder of Easy Peasy Ticketing.
I thought I was going to be a graphic designer somewhere.
That's what I need people, because it's so important people know that. I want some people right now are in a position and they're thinking, well, what's wrong with me? I don't know my, but I want you to get this takeaway. Keep doing. Like, keep going out of your comfort zone and keep doing. And a lot, and we're going to share in a minute. You're going to have to stay tuned for what continued to lead to Nate to have the vision of, okay, I'm going to open this company, which now is blowing up, like, and changing the game. But what I love is it's always a story behind the story, because it was the same for me. I just kept doing, and things led along the way. And then it was like, you get the experience and then you see what you do. I believe you always work hard in whatever you're doing. And so you knew you had some stuff with art, graphic design, but sounds like that wasn't what you wanted to do for the rest of your life.
Then I didn't know what I wanted to do. I always felt that I was meant to do something bigger. I felt like I there was something special within me, but I didn't know what.
Yeah.
So I went the only route that I thought was possible for me then. I didn't come from an affluent family, so, you know, and I didn't get great grades. And so, their standard, college experience just wasn't a possibility for me. And so at that point in time, 12 months, I'm good at art. I can do graphic design, I think back then it was probably entry level, was maybe 12 or 13 bucks an hour. That's something.
Absolutely.
You never know where you're going to end up.
No, right?
You just need to keep climbing. And I ended up getting a job about a month before I graduated. So started working before I even graduated from the tech school. I ended up staying there for about 4 years. It was just the two owners of a company that was looking to grow pretty quickly. And so I learned a lot of hands-on experience about business through that journey. And I picked up really, really quickly on a lot of different stuff. And so it got to the point that I had like four or five people under me managing the production, doing the graphic design, doing operations.
So you started learning some stuff about managing, leadership.
Yeah, and just, you know, I didn't go to school for it.
By actually doing it.
Yeah.
By doing it.
Yeah.
That's what's important people to, and I want everyone on iTunes, you'll hear this, but I just want to give a shout, everyone jumping on from all over. We got like Clyde, Rosina, Hans, Gabby, Nelson, Gwen, Nicole. What's up, everyone? Thank you for jumping on here. Some cool comments too. Question. Gabby said, fear paralyzes us for sure. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it can paralyze you. But the thing is, in the common denominator here that we have with all of our different guests, when we talk about is, you can't let it paralyze you. Although we all go through it, you continue to take action. Don't overthink everything to death either. But so let's let everyone know, where did you then start, like at what point did you start having this vision or seeing there was maybe a problem in the way like tickets and live events are being done and that you could do it better?
Yeah, well, I'd like to back up maybe a couple years. And that was where I was still at the same place of employment, when I graduated. So I was there for about 10 years. It was a position that is probably a dream job for some people. You know, I made pretty good money. I had nice vacation. I'd been there for a long time, you know. It just wasn't the lifestyle that it was comfortable, but I'm not comfortable with being comfortable. It's very uncomfortable for me, right? And so
we should repeat that. Write that down. I like that. That's a good quote. I'm not comfortable with being comfortable. It's uncomfortable for me.
Yeah.
I love that. If you listen to this on iTunes, hit that little 30-second rewind, write that down. That's a good one to save. When you have your book out, that's going to be a quote.
Yeah.
I love it.
Well, now it's documented, so.
That's right. Now it is a quote.
I felt like it was a dead-end position for me, even though it might have been somebody else's end goal, and everybody's goals are different. It's just I've got my goals and my ideals of what I thought I could accomplish and still think I can.
Awesome.
That it wasn't enough for me. And so there was about 2 years of being pretty stagnant at that place, still doing the daily date, you know, going through the daily actions. And it was some of the most even though it would be what a lot of people would think, it was comfortable, right? But it was a couple of the most unhappy years of my life because there was zero fulfillment for me.
I think that's another key point for people to take away is for you. Someone else might have that and that might be their dream and they may be fulfilled in loving that. But you have and you have to do what works for you. Because I know we see all this sexy entrepreneur Instagram quotes all over and people holding stacks of cash up and all that crap, which is so stupid. But everyone doesn't have to be an entrepreneur either.
No.
It's like you gotta, because people see what you can get, what you have, but it's like then they don't realize the hell you have to go through to get there.
Right.
But if you have it, but also if you have a dream, no matter what it is, like go after it, but do what is in your heart. Don't do what you think is like the norm or the popular thing or what others want you to be. And you realized you did it for 2 years, but was there a point? It was like enough is enough.
Yeah, it was. I had to ask my employer if I was going to have a review. I was there so long that just kind of forgot about it. And in the review, I didn't really get in my head. I was like, well, I know this is what I'm worth for this company. And I didn't get anything as far as any sort of a bonus. And it'd been a couple years for a review. And so I left that review, my review, and I was just like shocked. And
did you ask?
I didn't say anything at the time. I went back to my office and I'm just like, what is going on? Like, this doesn't make any sense. And so one of the owners came by, he's like, hey, you okay, NATO? That was my nickname there. And I'm like, yeah, you know, actually, no, I'm not. Do you want me to quit? And he said, wait, what? I'm like, do you want me to quit?
Mm.
He's like, what do you mean? I'm like, that's the only conclusion I can come out of what just transpired. I was like, how do you expect me to want to stay here? You know, and then he said that, you know, he gave me some advice that, you know, I need to be happy. If I'm not happy here, he wants me to be happy here. And within a second, I said, okay, I think I need to leave. And I had no idea, Mark, what I was going to do. I had zero. I knew I couldn't keep doing what I was doing.
And that's a blessing. And maybe without you knowing it, the reason you didn't get that is maybe because you weren't, you just kind of hit mediocrity, and you weren't given 100%. You were just doing the motions. So maybe in their head,
I was living for the weekends.
They were thinking, this guy has so much more potential, but I don't want to invest more. But really, it wasn't saying you don't have more potential to do other things. Mm-hmm. It's just you get out what you're giving out too.
Right.
So
I ended up, staying there for, you know, a good couple of weeks, training the people that it took to replace me, and ended up doing what I knew how to do at that point in time, which was design, marketing, and I was always dabbled in freelance design. I had kind of a freelance label, so I just decided, you know what, I was going to do this, but I knew I needed to change my life though. So I calculated, it was part of this mind shift as I was thinking, like, this can't be there. Because I had...
Oh, listen up, everyone. The visionary. Stay tuned as we're going to come back to this amazing episode as Nate continues to share the story behind the story. And we're going to get into how he really started creating his company now and taking it to that next level. And what you need to do the same. But we're doing this special little interruption. That's right. That's right. And you're going to love what I'm getting ready to play. I'm so pumped up. The trailer is out. You're going to love this from our first annual live event, Elevating Beyond Presents Minutes with Millionaires. Our event was so phenomenal. I'm so excited. We've been editing this. I've been working with the amazing team from Let People See. They put together videos like for the Discovery Channel. They're the best of the best. So I've been working with them for a long time on this project. I'm excited to announce I just got the final cut. The video from our full event is available. Look, if you weren't able to make it live, like, that's what this was all about, is bringing in these four speakers, including myself, as we gave the raw, the real, the how of building our businesses successfully over years and years and years. And then we found this correlation that so much of it has to do with what we talk about, is creating a wealth mindset. It's not about your circumstances. It's not about where you come from. But listen to me. It's about the mindset. And this is so incredible. I'm loving this. Boom. I wish I could be dropping this mic right now, but I don't want to break it. The video is over 3 hours long of myself, Greg Walker, Dan Waldschmidt, Bill Colwright, each of us not only speaking, but doing over a 2-hour live interactive Q&A session. That's my favorite part. We're making this bad boy available, and boom, boom, boom. I don't have the drum roll effect, so I'm just doing it with my mouth. I'm loving this. We created Going With It. People call it a workbook. We're calling it the Minutes with Millionaires Massive Action Guide. Been working on this for a long time with my man Nick Pavlivas and his team to create this incredible massive action guide to go with it, to create it like a serious course. We got the 3 hours of content. This isn't one of those stupid, cheesy things that you see all the time. This is taking it to the next level and beyond, my friends. So I'm just going to give you a little flavor of the trailer. And stay tuned, because for my Elevating Beyond family, I'm going to have this bad boy available on my new webpage that's launching. At markmenard.net, baby, baby. It's going to be coming out in the next couple weeks. Listen to this little trailer right here. You're going to love it. Then we're going to dive right back into our man, Nate Nail's story, behind the story of what it took to create what we call not only the Blue Ocean Strategy, but his story behind the story of now you're gonna hear creating easy peasy ticketing and changing the game.
Mark Menard, the visionary behind Elevating Beyond, presents a groundbreaking live event, Minutes with Millionaires. This elevational event is for business owners, leaders, and their teams, as each of our speakers bring extensive experience mixed with real and raw emotion. Learn how to lead through the chaos, manage your stress, create massive new revenue, and get your hustle on. And for the first time ever, a two-hour interactive Q&A session. We're talking massive truth bombs.
No one would invest in me. First of all, you've got to go and do whatever it takes.
Do what it takes to get to where you want to go.
If I want something I have never had, I must do something I have never done before.
Do what you love and make it big.
Go to markmenard.net for more information and to order your video now.
Because I had zero experience in this space before, that's why we've been able to create such a unique and great system. And the reason being, because I had no predetermined knowledge or thoughts on how it would work. I've gone into the entertainment industry without any experience or background and can easily pinpoint things that just don't make sense or things that I would do differently because I've not been trained otherwise.
What, so right? that's I love to share that too. You use your disadvantage to your advantage. Mm-hmm. Sometimes what I've seen is these so-called experts have almost too much knowledge that they see the perfect, they teach the MBA classes, but they've never opened a company because they've never created that perfect business plan that doesn't exist. Right. It's those that are like, look, I know we can do this. We're going to figure it out along the way. I have this, there's stuff that I created that had I known what I know, I'm glad I didn't know what I know now. Because back then I would have been like, crap, I'm going to have to go through this. But then you're like, we can make that happen. We'll just figure out a way. That's what Jim Henson said he did with the Muppets. He said, because we didn't know anything about TV, we always could go way outside of the box. Yeah. And it was our lack of not being experts that we didn't know the way. We're like, well, we'll rig this light up here and make this. And that's what made them have all the creativity to create what they've done. And that's what you started doing.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I just started thinking about it, you know, and it's like, okay, why every time do I, for every, all the, 99% of the competition out there, I mean, there might be a couple throughout the, you know, that are in existence, but almost every other ticketing company, why is it that these festivals and these venues are bringing all of the traffic to their page, and then I click this button, and then I go to this other site, and then I'm able to search for other tickets. The process is clunky. There's a horrible user experience. It's not customized. Wouldn't it make more sense if we could provide a system and allow a client to own your ticketing? And so that's our whole slogan. You know, we actually recently became registered with the USPTO. So we're a registered trademark, own your ticketing, which we're pretty proud of.
Nice.
And so it not yeah none of it really 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 made a lot of sense to us, and you know, and so it was a unique combination of experience between you know the two founders, Wes and I. You know, I had the background of engineering because we worked I worked a lot in scale with buildings and vehicles and stuff at the job that I did right out of college, and then my design and marketing. He's also has a master's in meteorology and has a meteorology background as well as computers and tech. And and then but the first startup that we worked together on that was mine that he built for me, the tech anyways, was that involved scanning. And so you put all of that together and it's like the perfect storm for creating the world's best ticketing solution. So,
and that's what you guys have done. So then when... Now let's let them take them a little more forward. You have an official company, you start building this and you start getting some clients and you're starting to make revenue from it now.
Yeah, for the first year or so, it was one of the companies that I had going on.
Okay.
And which was, I look back and I had to do what I had to do then, but you know, I was maybe spending 10 to 15% of my time the first year because I had so many other responsibilities with the other organizations. And it was about a year ago or so. I was explaining to a good friend of mine and who's our advisor, an incredible business person. We were out at we were out having some drinks. He was along for this whole ride since day one, and had kind of watched from the sidelines with us building this thing. And so I was explaining to him where we're at in comparison to some of the other companies out there that are doing over 150 million tickets a year and this and that. I'm explaining to him how our process every step of the way is better. And he asked me how much time I was spending on it. And I told him, and he's like, wait, so you're spending 10 to 15% of your time and on this project and this is where you guys are at so far? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, okay. And then I continued bouncing off some other ideas for other companies I had because I'm a visionary, right?
Yeah.
You are as well, right?
Absolutely.
And so sometimes it's great, but we need to be able to control that. And at that point in time, I wasn't. I was just kind of ideas everywhere.
You gotta apply.
Yeah, and I was bouncing off ideas, and he's like shooting everyone down. I'm like, man, you're a tough critic. He takes a sip of his drink and he kind of puts down his hand. Made a little bit of a loud noise, which is not like him. It got my attention. He's like, Nate, look at me in the eyes. I am a tough critic. Listen to me. You need to go all in on Easy Peasy. And at that moment is when it really hit that I needed to make a change. And so that's when I decided to take another leap of faith yet.
That's a good person. And look, everyone listening, that's a huge, you got to know, first of all, wisdom doesn't walk on eggshells. So when people tell you the real truth, they'll be like, they're not crushing your other dreams. They care enough to say, you can't do all these 500 things at once. It's going to be a risk, but he cared enough to say, this is a good idea if you go all in on it.
Like you said, he's like, Nate, you're a hustler. You're a grinder. You're great at what you do. You can always design stuff. You can always go do vehicle wraps. You know, you need to go all in on this. Mm. And that changed everything. That was about a year ago or so. And from that point in time, you know, now I don't even think about anything else. I've got blinders on to the world, you know.
It takes
committing 100%, in my opinion anyways, to reach, you know, to reach ultimate fulfillment for me anyways. And to reach the point, if you know, I might not be where I hope to be down the road.
Of course,
I'm enjoying the journey and
that's
the
right.
fulfillment that I get out of giving it everything that I got, right? To me, I needed to find that one thing to go all in on. I'm glad that I found that. So,
well, I mean, you're doing it. You're crushing it from being a year in, from my experience and what I've seen. Also, you're meeting with schools, you're working out, setting all the ticketing, we won't put anyone's name, but across all the schools for how they do football, it's really smart, you're making it an app. I'm telling you, I don't get a kickback for this, everyone. Like, if you're looking at doing live events, a lot of people on here, Easy Peasy Ticket, you want to look into that because they really specialize it to your website, to everything. And Nate, I work with the owners, the founder directly, and his team, it's an amazing process. There's a lot of potential there. And I worked with the other ones. Like I said, they weren't bad, but they weren't phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And what you guys are doing is, it's phenomenal. It's different.
Thank you.
And I love that people could get on your webpage and they feel like they're just buying a ticket from you, from your brand.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think you guys, it's like $1 per ticket or something like that.
Yeah,
so it's not some crazy.
It's $1 flat rate per ticket, right? And so, you know, and basically what we do, the gist of what we do is we empower venues, artists, festival organizers to own their ticketing, essentially. We've created state-of-the-art industry-leading technology. We custom design the entire user experience, you know, what the buttons look like, what the text looks like, how the images look on the website to match the brand on their website. Even the tickets that are emailed out are custom designed for that brand, coming from our client's email address. And so nowhere does anybody see Easy Peasy Ticketing anywhere.
It's really cool.
It is.
It has like the logo and they look really... Mm-hmm. So when people order a ticket to your event, it comes like it's coming directly from your own box office.
Yeah.
It's the way you guys do it.
Yeah, and we custom design even the box office. And our clients have access to their custom box office 24/7, 365. And they can create, manage, and monitor every aspect of their ticketing online from any device at any point in time, from anywhere around the world. And it's been a very, very... It's an incredible platform, but we are always continually trying to get better and see where our competitive advantage is in the market. And, I started thinking to myself, you always got to try to put yourself out of business because, somebody else is trying to, right? And so,
that's right.
So, it's a competitive market with the ticketing space. We don't do contracts. We're that confident in our system that we don't make you sign a contract because we know you're not going to go anywhere. It's that good. And so, but a lot of the competition... have the contracts because they're afraid somebody like me with our software is going to come around and knock on your door. But
I'm the type that when I get stuck in a contract and I'm not happy with it and they won't work with me to get out of it. Not only will I never go with them again, I would never recommend them. It's those that understand that they can get good people through word of mouth, through mm-hmm. hard work. That's why I'm having you on the show is from the experience, because I've been stuck in contracts before where it wasn't working out and then they're just like, well, screw you, you're in for 9 more months and we're going to keep doing mediocre services.
Right.
That lights me on fire. Then I'll go through the thing in depth and find out, wait, I found in here where it says, if you're not delivering on this, you're in breach of contract. They're like, sure, well, it's a $2,000 fee to quit early. And I'm like, no, you're in breach of not following up on your services. So I could actually, but yeah, it's.
I mean, why I look at it, why would we want it to continue engaging hostage? With somebody if they don't want to work with us? And it's just not the way that we wanted to do business. And so, there's, because of that, there are a lot of contracts in this industry. And as we continue to grow and, we continue through the first year or so to gain good market share, saturate the market with smaller venues, so forth and so on. And we continue to get bigger and bigger and bigger. But we knew that, it's the blue ocean strategy, right? And so, we could continue fighting after this business that everybody is fighting after. And Blue Ocean strategy for all you that everybody that's listening might not be familiar with it is basically, you've got a pool of water. You've got a whole bunch of fish over here that say the sharks are fighting after, and it's all bloody and murky and you can't really see too far ahead of you because everybody's fighting over where this big pot of food is. But there's food all over here, and it's called the Blue Ocean Strategy. You can see clearer over here where there's not all everybody's fighting over the same thing. And so I was trying to figure out where that sweet spot was going to be for us. And so one day I was thinking to myself, I was like, well, you go to a professional sports game, you buy tickets online. You go to a college sports game, you buy tickets online. Why should it be any different for high schools?
That's brilliant.
Aha. And so we've launched a division and a product. It's a product of Easy Peasy Ticketing, but it's called Hometown Ticketing. And
nice.
And so it allows pre-sale tickets online for high schools. We do. We've got an incredible season pass program that saves athletic directors countless hours throughout the course of a year. And there's a huge, an incredible opportunity for us for growth, specifically in the hometown division. And this year, I think we've onboarded 5 school districts just this week, I think. So, that's really taken off.
That's, I want everyone listening to this to let that be a takeaway is, like you said, what was it, the Blue Ocean?
Blue Ocean Strategy.
You don't have to go where everyone thinks is in the spotlight. It's where you can find a niche and change the game and find where there's a problem that you can solve. Yeah. And what you did is like, well, everyone's crowd in this space, but I mean, both my sons play high school football. My son and my nephew play high school football. I know what it's like. We pay cash for the games. Mm-hmm. It's going through all that. If I could buy them on an app and everything ahead of time and the schools have that, it's like, it's a no-brainer. It's going to save the schools money. It's going to save, but no one's getting into that space. I know a guy that started making vending machines for schools that started having healthy stuff in them and then also these cool little like goodies and stuff, but the stuff like applied towards high school age, and everyone was like, well, that's crazy. And but he saw it was doing good in other places, and he's like, but the high schools don't have that, why not? Now he has one of the largest ones at, like, across the country. But it started by finding it in an area where other people just, they, like you said, they were all in that one area of the water thinking, thinking like, if I get this one dream client, like in the live event, like I'm sure, it's all about.
Sure, I mean, that's glamorous and sexy and everything else. But that's, you know, so is being able to be profitable and grow.
Well, that's what, you know, honestly, what business comes down to is, look, you got to be passionate. You have to have a why. You have to have a care. You have to care. But you have, business is, you have to be profitable. Right. As we get ready to finish, I want you to end with a take. I want you to repeat what you said at the beginning about you're not comfortable being comfortable. Say that, and then I'm going to, but say the whole thing, and I'm going to finish it up.
All right, I'm going to try.
All right, here we go. This is the famous Nate Nail quote.
All right. I am not comfortable with being comfortable because being comfortable is uncomfortable to me.
I love that. Not comfortable with being comfortable because being comfortable is uncomfortable to me. I know to most of you it's uncomfortable to you, because we're the types that continue to go out of our comfort zone to innovate and elevate. And we talked about it, fear. You can't allow fear. We all feel it, we all go through it, but you can't allow it to stop you from taking action. It's not gonna go away. You have to keep doing it, although you feel afraid. So listen to me, everyone. I'll have everything in the show notes for where you can connect with Nate, but don't, I want you to take this away. Don't let fear stop you ever, ever from for continuing to go after whatever that dream is that's put in your, not in my heart, not in Nate's heart, but that's in your heart. And keep going after it one day, one step at a time. And don't worry about having this perfect plan and solution. Just keep going, keep taking action, keep getting out of your comfort zone. Like Nate said, don't be comfortable being comfortable, and never settle, never give up. Keep elevating beyond.
After a long day of being pulled in every direction, the last thing anyone wants to think about is what's for dinner. That's where Schwan's can help, with a variety of real food choices, frozen to lock in freshness, from ready-made meals, premium meats and side dishes, to vegetables, ice cream, and more. Schwan's foods go from freezer to table in minutes, not hours, so you can pull off a delicious meal in no time at all. Ordered, delivered, done. That's homemade easy. To help simplify mealtime, visit schwans.com.
And now, an ad from Dad.
All right, save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive.
Can I take these off?
All right. What is this? This looks good.
Wow. That's well made.
Where did you get this? I'm talking to you, with the hair. Yeah, where did you get this? It's good stuff. That's solid. That's not veneer. That's solid stuff.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.